So, Pastor Jay mentioned about warming you up, so I'm going to warm you up, okay? Are you game?
Game.
Please be game. Okay. This is how I fight my battles.
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 Okay, let me now. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
One more time. This is how I fight my battle.
This is how I fight my battle.
Now cheer.
Woo!
Okay, so how do we fight our battles? Because we're singing that often, right? And we're saying, this is how. I sing it too, me too. And then life happens, and we go, I don't know how to fight this battle. I don't know what to do, right? And so today I want to talk about surrender. Because in the kingdom of God, the opposite of what we think we need to do when it comes to fighting is actually surrendering. And I don't mean surrendering to, we're going to talk all about that. What are you surrendering to is basically what I want to talk about today. As I began to do this, the Holy Spirit was giving me, like, I just felt conviction in areas of my life. I literally, at one point, I just being vulnerable, I got up, I went to the pantry, I took the thing of chocolate chips, I put some in my hand, I shoved them in my mouth, and I just ate a whole bunch of chocolate for a minute because I was like, this is a lot for me. This is heavy. I'm feeling this. And I thought, that's good. Because that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines a little bit. But this isn't a discipline-y kind of a talk. If you feel that conviction, just go with it. Because that means the Holy Spirit is within you and he loves you. God's with you. He loves you. He wants us to change. He wants us to grow. So this is how I fight my battles, through him. So Lord, we just give you this time. You're already here. I thank you that you're here. Nothing is as strong as your love. Nothing is as strong as your love. Nothing, Lord, thank you that nothing is as strong as your love. And as we talk about this, Lord, let the word just come alive. Come alive into my brothers and sisters and to myself today. And so, the definition, amen. So the definition of surrender, cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. That's what surrender is. So I walk and I have got resistance going on, and all of a sudden something comes against me and I just cease resistance. I surrender, white flag, I give up, God. I give up, right? And that's what he's calling each and every one of us to do. Is it easy? No. I want to give you an example in the Bible. If you would turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. And the setting of this passage is Elijah coming through this victory with God, victory with the Israelites and Mount Carmel, right? Where God just gave him victory over their enemies. And then he went through a dip where he went away from that huge victory, and then he was like, he prayed that he would die, and God sent comfort to him. And now there's this shift in the times. There's a shift in the season, and God's got, because God is always about the next, right? He's got us like, where do you want me, God? And he's like, I've got a plan. I've got this. And this is where we see the emergence of Elisha coming in, who is going to be the successor of Elijah. Okay, so in 1 Kings 19, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, we'll say. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his coat around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Okay, so we'll stop for a minute. So here we have Elisha. What is he doing? He's plowing. He's busy. He's doing life's work, like every one of us, right? I'm not sure what's significant about that there were 12 yokes. I'm guessing it was just a big job, and he was the 12th, so he's at the end, and he's plowing this work. plowing this field, doing his thing, keeping his head down, and all of a sudden, a man of God comes to him. What a shock that must have been. All of a sudden, what is happening, right? And so Elijah comes and he throws his cloak on him, which is like a symbol that there's something new about to happen in his life. The successor, the anointed, it's like putting a crown on one's head and say, you're next. Happened to King David, right? What was King David? Well, he wasn't king at that time. What was David doing? Yeah, he was just shepherding too, right? God just loves to find us right when we're least expecting it, right when we're just being faithful, right? When we're walking it out and we're just living our lives. God, I'm yours, I'm yours. We never know, right? No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store. And that's where he was. So Elijah walks up, throws the coat on him, and Elijah, there's not a question. He's just like, okay, let me just go kiss my family goodbye. I'm good to go, right? And Elijah says, okay. He says, yes, go do that. So verse 21, so Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. What? He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Okay, so this is so, in my mind, this is so significant, because as Elisha kisses his mom and dad, boy, I'm not mad at him for that. Isn't that sweet? He goes and just says goodbye to his mama. That's okay. And then he takes the work that he's doing, and I just, in my mind, I just picture him looking at all of this, and he's saying, I'm turning from this life. I've got something new that God wants me to do. And and he doesn't just walk away from it. He burns it. He's like, goodbye. Done. It's so important that we end well when we're shifting from one season to the next. It's so important that we look at it and we say, okay, and this applies spiritually to us too. Because when we're turning away from the things in life that are holding us, right? That we are saying, God, I surrender this thing in my life, we got to burn it to the ground. Because we can't just keep stepping back and just looking at it a little bit, because it'll just drag us right on back. So he burns it to the ground, burns it, and then he cooks meat with this whole situation, cooks the meat, and gives it away to the people. Way to use the old, right? To bless, to give. He was generous with what he was saying goodbye to. So when we have things in our life that we are surrendering, giving up, walking away from, every one of those decisions, every one of those choices that we make, God doesn't waste any of it. So there's the goodbye, right? But he says, I'm not just calling you to, I led you to walk away from that thing because I want you to use it in your life for good. I want it to be your ministry. I want to use it to bless. I want it to become, it's like this thing that you stand on top of to say, here's what God's done in my life. Here's the carnage, okay? But I'm going to feed you with it. Because if we feel, if when we look back and all we feel is shame or regret or loss, and we stay there, we'll forever be there. And that's a really, it's a really unfortunate place to live. It really is, because God is saying, hey, I want to put my coat on you. I want to anoint you. I want you to walk in victory. I've got this stamp. I scrubbed it off, almost broke my, from the concert last night. It was a V. I'm like, okay, good, V for victory. That's what he wants, right? He wants us to live in this place of victory where we say, look what the Lord has done. Look what has happened in my life and where I came from. Yeah, I didn't make every decision right. Yeah, maybe I hurt people along the way. People hurt me. Whatever happened, that's where it is, but I burned it to the ground. And there, let there be nothing left, right? Let there be nothing to hold on to. See, and how do we know if we've done that? Because I think there are kind of hallmarks, right? It's like victim, that I put Y on everything, victim-y, right? Do we walk with this, like, I've been wronged? Oh, it's hard to hear. It's hard, right? I don't say that with judgment because I've done it myself. But if that's the mindset, that's kind of it's like this veil that's in front of your eyes everywhere you go. It's a lens. Maybe that's a better way to put it. It's a lens that you look through, right? And so God doesn't want, that's not why I led you out of that thing. I didn't lead you out of that so that you look through a lens that makes you a victim or a slave to fear, right? Or in bondage to anything, to have one foot in and one foot out. I led you out for victory. And this is what Elisha did. I keep confusing them. He burned the plowing ground and cooked the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Okay, so this is interesting because from what I read, it's in my other version, it said assistant, became his assistant, which was the same call that Joshua had with Moses, right? So he's coming out of this. Now he's got a coat on him. He's thinking, I'm going to be like, woohoo, I'm going to be the king or something, or the head prophet or whatever. No, he actually became his assistant. More serving. And the thing I'm learning in life is the more promotions you get, the deeper service it really is. Right? It's not so much about their roles, yes. And there is that authority and all of that we need to honor. But the mindset, when God say, God, please promote me. God, please, I say, oh, I got to watch what I wish for, right? Because it's just a deeper calling. It's a deeper serving, deeper responsibility. It's all beautiful and good, but that's really the heart behind it. And that's what Elisha had to know, right? He was all good to go. Okay, so let's go a little further. Does that ring a bell? Okay, good. Next, if you keep going now, so just skip to chapter 20. Okay, this is interesting because it says, now Ben-Hadad, which it's funny because it's almost like we're not talking about Elisha here anymore, and it's a new story. So I almost feel like it could start with like, meanwhile, like this is kind of going on. Okay, and so track with me for a minute. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mustered his entire army. So king of Aram is going to be our like antagonist, okay? He's kind of the bad guy in the story, if you follow me. Accompanied by 32 kings with their horses and chariots, he went up and besieged Samaria and attacked it. So bad things going on. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel. Ahab's had some trouble. Right? He's got himself entangled with Jezebel. There's a lot going on with King Ahab, but he's still God's man for the moment, isn't he? Yes, he is. Thank you. He sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, saying, this is what Ben-Hadad says. Your silver and gold are mine, and the best of your wives and children are mine. Okay, so the enemy comes in, and he says, he's not asking, is he? He says, and the enemy, it's like he sends his little minions, right? Here come the, I pictured them like, you know, kind of coming in, right? And going, it probably didn't happen that way, but you know, like, it's like, okay, we're going to go. And then they get all big and strong. This is what the king of Aram says, right? He says, we're going to take everything. We're going to take your wives and your children, or the best of your wives. Let's not go there. So, okay. It's okay to laugh, right? Okay. Your silver and gold are mine and the best of your wives and children. So that's some of what he had. He's very rich, right? So there must have been a logic in his mind. There must have been something going on in Ahab's mind that would somehow think that giving in to this demand, it's not a question, it's a demand, was going to work for him or something, right? I had read the commentary suggest Ahab and Israel saw little hope for victory against the Arameans, which is what they are. So he didn't have a whole lot of hope, I guess, that he was going to be victorious over them. So he thought maybe if he gave in to this, that it would spare their lives. He also was afraid for his own life, so maybe he thought that this would spare his own life, okay? So he thought Ben-Hadad is going to take what he wants, and my wives, my children, not so bad, terrible, and some gold and silver, and then he's going to be gone, and that's going to be enough. What do we know about when the enemy makes demands on us? Yep. So here's Ahab. And you know, we can hate on Ahab, but the guy needed some, he needed to know who he was in God, right? And we enable people in our lives for reasons sometimes. We don't always know the truth. So something was going on with him. But nevertheless, he's a king. Like, he had all the power. And when the minions come and they threaten, and he says, okay. And interesting that he answered this enemy right away. That there was not even like, let me go and consult or talk or whatever. He just kind of goes with it. So verse 4, the king of Israel answered, just as you say, my lord, the king, I and all I have are yours. Oh, right? How dangerous. That could have just derailed everything that God was going to do because he gave it over so quickly and so willingly. And sometimes we do that. There are reasons. We say, I just can't fight this battle. I don't know who I am in God. See, if we don't know our value, if we don't know our worth, if we don't know that we are the kings and queens and princesses of God, princes unto him, that we don't operate in a spirit of orphan, but that we belong, we're hemmed in, if we have rejection, any of that stuff, if that's operating in our life, then we're just going to be like, okay, I guess maybe this will work. Maybe this will help. And it can be such a mindset of defeatism. Defeatist mindset, right? And it steals, it kills, it destroys, and it almost took out the armies of Israel. Ahab didn't know who he was. The other thing is the self-sufficiency. You know, he says, well, I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to figure this out on my own. I'm going to white knuckle this and figure this out. And you know, the mental gymnastics that we do in our minds, you know, this goes for strongholds too. Because if there's something, pick your vice, right? Mind, thoughts, lust, addictions, whatever that is, right? Those things are there, and we can rationalize by having a door open just a little bit. We think, well, if I just do this much, then nothing else will happen. Maybe I can still maintain my connection with God and have this other little thing going on in my life. How many have found that's the most deadly mindset that you can have? Yeah, me too. You can't. We can't. We can't serve two masters. Self-sufficiency. Ahab's already, he already knows he's been down a path he doesn't want to go. So he's already in this mindset of like, I'm the king, but I don't really feel like the king. I'm really like, I don't know who I am. And he didn't have a purpose. Because if he didn't think he could win this fight to stand up to the Arameans, if he didn't think he could win, then he's already defeated right there. And so it's the purpose that is our protection, everybody. Right? Do you know what I mean by that? Because if you have a purpose, if you know where you're going, you know who you want to be, you know whose you are, then anything that tries to come in and yank away what God wants to do in your life, you're going to be so strong against it. You're going to be on that, right? You're going to be like, oh no, I can't. I can't afford it. I've got somewhere to be. I've got something to do for God. I have a mission. I have a purpose. The purpose would have kept Ahab on the right track. I can't give myself over to a thief. I can't say yes to a thief. And you know what? Sometimes life happens and it just comes in and steals, and there's like nothing you can do about it. Losses, traumas, right? Pain, things like that happen. But there is still in that, there's still purpose, there's still joy, there's still victory. Ultimately, when we need to heal from those hard things that happen. But it never ends bad. Anything that happens in our life, there's always something good because God doesn't waste anything, right? He never says, this is for you, ultimately, I'm so sorry, and that's the end. No, there's always something good that will come. Ahab didn't have the sight. He didn't have it. Okay. When we talk about open doors, it's something to think about. It's something to really, because 1 Timothy 6:20, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Okay? So we say, okay, I'm going to guard it. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. But the messengers are coming and they already took. Maybe they won't take any more. I'll just give over a little bit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, so as we presume, they didn't stop there, did they? So King of Israel answers, he gives it over. Just as you say, my lord the king, I and all I have are yours. Okay, never say that. Verse 5, the messengers came again. Yes, they did. This is what Ben-Hadad says, and they've got another message from the Arameans. I sent to demand your silver and gold, your wives and your children, but about this time tomorrow, I am going to send my officials to search your palace and the houses of your officials. They will seize everything you value and carry it away. Oh, now it's all gone, right? We're going to take it all. So now he's thinking, that's it, I'm sunk. This is kind of bad, eh? Like negative, sorry. But we can learn, right? It's all gone. Now he says, I'm going to take not just your wife, your children, your silver, your gold, and but now anything that you love, I'm going to take it. And now fear, here comes the fear, right? The king of Israel, notice it didn't just say Ahab, right? Now, all of a sudden, Ahab is saying, what is going on? King of Israel summoned all the elders of the land and said to them, see how this man is looking for trouble. When he sent for my wives and my children, my silver and my gold, I did not refuse him. Okay, so step one. Uh-oh, I need some help. I'm now in the spot where I'm in a bit of a mess here, and I need help. So he goes to the elders. So in your life, when you find yourselves in something, have a person that you can go to. Have a friend. Have a pastor. Have a person that you think can, okay, they can handle my mess. Because we all have messes. Every single one. Look around. Everybody in here has a mess of some sort, myself included. Right? And what happens when we find ourselves in a mess? We can put on the coat of self-sufficiency. We can say, well, I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm supposed to have it all together. I'm not supposed to struggle with this. But I didn't burn the things to the ground that I was supposed to burn to the ground. And now here I am. It's okay. We all find ourselves in that spot. But it's what you do in that moment. So Ahab summons. Come on. So the first thing to do is you talk to God about this, right? Lord, I repent. I repent for giving over my thoughts, my life, these things that I'm holding on to. I'm forgiving it so much power. One of the greatest I've had some counseling, and there were things in my life I went through that were hard, particularly with ministry. And the counselor said to me, it's really big in your life. Like when you picture it, is it small or is it big? And I said, it's big. He said, so see yourself shrinking it because that's not defining you. That doesn't have to define you. It's defining you right now because it's all you can see. Shrink it. It's one part of your life. Isn't that wonderful? That's so wise, right? So we say, okay, God, I repent for where I walked in. It's what I knew. It was choice or not by whatever it was. He's kind. He's loving. He's good. He wants us to talk to him in that way. And then he repents and he admits it to the people around him. He says, I did it, right? I didn't refuse. And he says, and the elders said to him, don't listen to him and agree with his demands. Truth, truth, truth. So the minute we release it, now we want truth. And you have to have an open ear to truth. Because sometimes we want to tell someone where we're at, but we don't always want to hear the hard thing. That's the part you got to get past, because there's an honesty that is required. There's an openness that is required. I've surrendered to the wrong things. Now I got to learn how to surrender to God. And that means when I'm surrendered, that means every part of me is his. That means every part of me is open to change and to growth, right? And that's sometimes we get tripped up. So yes, I'm going to hear it, God, what you want to say to me. I'm going to open my heart. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And so Ahab had to be open to what was going to be next. And he had to be strengthened in that. He had to hear the voice of God. He had to hear the voice of the people around him. And he had to say, and take a stand and say no more. I'm not gonna continue as I am now. I'm gonna wage war against that thing. This is how I fight my battles. I surrender to you, not to man. I surrender, I'm yours. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us. How do we know that there are things in our life? How do we know? And I think the hallmarks, again, am I living my life? Am I defensive? Is there controlling ways in me? Do you know that control is rooted in fear? That's where that comes from. And if fear has been a thing in your life, fear is a big root. And I remember talking to somebody about fear in my life and just saying, God, help me. I need help with it, right? And just praying. You can pray it in the spirit because we don't wrestle flesh and blood, right? See, if Ahab would have seen this is actually the enemy of the people of God, of God's people, that this is a spiritual battle, now we have different weapons we fight with, right? I think that's Ephesians 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. The thing is, screaming at the principalities and powers, I don't know, fine, if you want to do that. Sometimes we have to say it out loud, no. No. And we have to get, you know, hear the sound of our own voices standing up against something, right? And it's just, this is not okay. I had a friend in my, you know, at the beginning with the center, I've talked about this before, but, you know, I've always duped. Like, I was continuously, like, I didn't know how to recognize manipulation or anything that comes sometimes with addiction. And so I'd go and talk to my boss and my friend, Fiona. I'd say, you know, I did this. I feel kind of bad. But then she reacted, and I don't know what to say. And she's like, Linda, that's not okay that she said that to you. It's not okay. Your heart wasn't. And just to hear somebody go, that's not okay. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not okay for the enemy to come in and steal from you. It's not okay. But we allow it because we don't know who we are. We our arms, I'm trying to get back into shape. And, you know, I'm lifting weights, right? I'm going, come on, muscles. You were there before. Get strong. Come on. Get going, right? But it's like, you don't know. We have it within us. We have to build the muscle of resistance to the enemy, by the way. Because that takes some, like, it's like the eye of the tiger. He can be sleuthy and try to get, but we're wise. I'm on to you. I'm on to you when depression or anxiety comes knocking at my door. And sometimes it bangs. It's not gentle with me sometimes. But it's like, oh, here it comes. I feel it knocking at my door. I'm in the fight. And The one thing with that is, okay, I get deeper into what the truth, what the Bible says in truth, and then I'll call my friends. Here I am. Melissa knows. She goes, so you get quiet, right? I start to get quiet when I start to feel anxious. I start to get, you know, but the opposite is what's needed. We have to live offensively rather than defense. Defense is fine if you're a goalie, right? If you're playing hockey and you're a goalie, good. Be defensive. But otherwise, as a Christian, if we live defensive all the time, what are we going to conquer for the kingdom of God? You hear me. I'm not talking like it's easy, okay? I'm just, this is the truth. And things like bitter roots, it's like I feel like I was born fighting bitter roots, you know? Like for some of us, we each have different parts of our personalities will lend to certain hang-ups and pitfalls and things like that. That's fine. For me, I'm sensitive, so I feel things so deeply. Why do I have to feel things so deeply, right? And with that comes having to release and forgive and recognize that my emotional filter is sometimes a little higher, and which makes my processor a little off sometimes. Okay, I have other good qualities, right? And so do you, right? And so we just, for who we are, right? We know ourselves, God. You accept me for who I am. Help me with what's wrong, right? Help me to take back the ground that I've given over. Because if the door's open, this is the problem. The enemy, I'm going to do it in my heels. Ready? He goes, bang. He just kicks it down, right? So I got to shut that door again. How do I shut that door? You can't do it by yourself. You need help. I need help. We all do. And so bitter roots, oh, man. Roots only have one purpose. Who said it? To grow. Yeah, choke too, that's a good one, right? But if a root, if it's just sitting in the ground, it's not really doing its job as a root. So we have all kinds of roots. So the Bible says to be rooted and grounded in love, right? Colossians 2, 6, and 7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Yay, you get good teaching here, right? And overflow with thankfulness. Uh-oh, this is how I fight my battles. I'm thankful every day. I forgive those who hurt me. I walk away from my addictions and hang-ups and hurts. That's how we fight. So that the germination of that thing gets cut off before it causes trouble. Because it says it springs up and it causes trouble. I don't know where it is. I had that scripture. Did I read this one? Hebrews 12, 4, 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness. That doesn't mean you're perfect. That means we have the character of God in us, the holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, that's like you have to be on it, right? I'm diligent about it. Lest any man or woman fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and then defile. So that's a progression, right? The grace of God. So when we don't quickly respond to what goes on in us, short accounts with each other, right? So if we have a hurt, deal with it quick. It's so hard. I hate confrontation. Even my last 5 years of my life have been like confrontation and dealing, saying hard things to people. It never gets easier. I just don't like it. And I don't like talking about what hurts me because it feels like weakness, right? If you admit to somebody that you're offended by them, that feels like a weakness. I shouldn't have let that hurt me. The shoulds, right? And so that's a barrier. It stops us. But if we get past all of that and realize we're all in this together, we can keep short accounts, lest any root of bitterness springs up and it gives you trouble. That doesn't sound so bad at first, but then as it keeps on growing, it defiles. Oh boy. So, roots of bitterness. And the thing is, it's like, if I say, I don't even know if that's in my heart. Like, I'm not really sure. The nice thing is, thankfully, we don't have to do all of the deep digging in our own selves. Because when Jesus left the earth, he said, I'm going to leave some help for you. Because this isn't something you have to do by yourself. I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit, which is an extension of me, right, with you. And he's your helper. He's going to be the one that's going to talk to you and show you and lead you into all truth. He's going to provide the comfort when you need it. When you feel alone and you feel like you failed God or disappointed him, that's really bad. I mean, if God's mad at me, that's one thing. I think he's mad. But if he's disappointed, yikes, right? That just hurts. So when we all have those times. But we have the Holy Spirit that comes in and just speaks to us. And he's loving. So what does the Holy Spirit's voice sound like in your life? Does it sound angry? Does it sound condemning? Because sometimes that is true for some people because of the messages they've received, possibly from church. There could be 100 things why we hear those voices. But say, God, show me your true voice. We can get to know the Holy Spirit through the scripture, through time with God, through worship. We can begin to tune our ear to listen to the compassionate voice of the Holy Spirit leading us into, Linda, listen, Linda. Boy, that video has been the bane of my existence. It's like, even my kids say it. Linda, listen, right? And yeah, but the voice of God is changed in my life. Used to feel condemning, I think, more, you know? And now it's like, I think God calls me honey sometimes, you know? Come on, honey. It's okay. But I'm calling you higher. And that's what I, you know, when I try to speak to some of the women that I work with, I try to not just point out the flaws, but to say, you know, God's calling you higher than that. Because you have a purpose. You have so much potential in God. And so we can't afford it. We can't give all of our money away, all of that, the riches of kingdom of God within us. We don't want to give it away or sacrifice it, exchange it in for stuff that's going to stop us. And so I'm called higher. So I want to release the bitter roots. I want to cut them off, bang, so they're gone, right? So that my first default is not to feel rejection. So my first default is not to feel isolated from the body of Christ. Oh, that's a big challenge. Oh, I know, I got off track. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. He shows us what's in there. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you, God. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive, and there's other translations of wicked, way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So there's a whole, this is another beautiful progression. It starts with asking. It starts with, God, search me, here I am, right? And I open my heart to you. You know and know my heart. You know it better. You made me just as I am. You made me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, my mind. The mind is, I think I've said this before, forgive me if I have. We think of the mind, sometimes the mind is like a playground, okay? So thoughts come in and it's just, if you think about your thoughts sometimes. And some people, you know, this is a real difficult thing, but it's like there's 100 thoughts that go through your head. But if you see it like a playground, it's like anybody can just come on in and mess around in our thoughts. But if you switch it to your mind is not a playground, but a battleground, it's a little different. Because now I'm watching. No one gets to cross the line. Think about World War II, right? They had that space, that ground. What was it called? Thank you. Oh, I love the war stuff. No man's land, right? Where it was like empty, but nobody could run across that you're going to get fired at if you cross no man's land, right? So negative thinking, ungrateful thinking, lustful thinking, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, all of that stuff that wants to come in and mess around with us. It doesn't get to come into my mind unless I give it permission. Who goes there? Right? Friend or? Yeah. And if that thought is going to hurt me, and if it's gonna wreak havoc, it makes me cry because it's so true. Because it starts with the thought. It starts with the inclination. And before we know it, we're stuck spiraling. And God doesn't want that for us. Right? We're the king. We're kings and priests unto God. We were made for more. And so we say, stop. Stop. I am not going to surrender. I am not. Because I can't afford it. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. And when life happens as it does, and painful things go on, it's just life. How we think, of course, we're going to be rattled, shocked, hurt. We're human. We have emotions. We have reactions. All of that, of course. Of course. It's the staying in that spot where we decide, this will affect the rest of my life, and I dig a hole, and I stand in it, and I'm stuck. And he says, don't surrender to that. Walk on, daughter. Walk on, son. You were made for to do exploits, to take the enemy's camp down. And what is the armor that we wear? Because that sounds like pretty serious battle. What's the armor that we get to wear? Let's just name a few. Yes. Oh, we're gonna name them too. Pardon? Belt of truth, helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. Come on. Shield of faith. Shoes of peace. Peace. What else? Shield of faith with which you can quench. We could put that on every single day. Every single day. We wake up. Here comes helmet. Right? I walk because I got this. I'm saved. I'm changed. I'm different than I was before. Redeemed. Woo, blood of Jesus runs through my veins. Right? And I walk on. And there's other things we can do too. Worship. Time with God. Oh boy. Big time surrender. This isn't small time. But I know that the heart of this church is to not just put the punch clock in, right? Is to live radically for God. And I think if you're here that you have that mindset, I think it's contagious, right? So if that's the mindset and that's the heart of which you have, that's big time surrender. Because yeah, we can big time surrender the other way, but we can big time surrender for God too. Oh, step into the light. How am I doing? Quarter two. Step into the light. So when things are in darkness, oh, it takes so much courage. This is a prayer we don't like to pray. When we do our morning and at work in the morning, we go, Lord, if there's anything in darkness, just bring it to light. Oh, and we get ready because then stuff happens. But it's true. Because, see, we're only as sick as our secrets. Have you ever heard that? I didn't coin that. I think that's like an AA thing, but it's true, right? So everything that's in dark, it feels really big and really scary. The minute you just say, to somebody, you know what, I felt jealous. Oh, that hurts, right? But all of a sudden it comes into the light and the person goes, you tell that to a friend, the person goes, oh yeah, I felt that many times before. And you go, oh, that wasn't so bad. What you get met with on the other side is compassion. I'm having a hard time with pornography. And the person says, oh yeah, I've had that too. Oh, that's not too hard for God. Oh, all of a sudden, right? It goes from big to small. It's just one part of us. Doesn't define us. Doesn't have to. Stepping into the light. Take a stand. Oh, James 4:7. submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Flee. That's like, that's not just walk away. Like, that's, he's like, out of there. Goodbye, right? And by the way, once Ahab turned this over to the collective, and he got some help, and the elders said, don't listen to him or agree to his demands, the fight was on, right? And that's where the victory came, right? So he replies, oh yeah, this is good. Tell the Lord the king, your servant will do all you demanded the first time, because he had already did it, probably. But this demand I cannot meet. They left and took the answer back to Ben-Hadad, right? So he tells the minions, tell him, no thanks. I'm not going there this time. So the minions go off, messengers, they're called messengers, I'm calling them minions, back to Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad sends another message to Ahab. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, because the enemy wants to roar back at you, by the way, right? Just because you take a stand doesn't mean he's gone and you're never going to have trouble with this, right? It's a familiar spirit, too. Okay. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if enough dust remains in Samaria to give each of my men a handful. So he's saying, we're going to take the dust of you guys and we're going to sprinkle it to our army. He's taunting him, right? So the king, Ahab, he answers, tell him one who puts on his armor should not boast like one who takes it off. Get it? It's like, it's basically, the translation is, don't count your chickens before they're hatched, right? It's like, yeah, we'll see about that. Let's see how things are at the end of that fight, right? And then they win, and they're victorious, ultimately, in the end. It's beautiful. If you spend time in the Word of God, and you, sometimes when we, I don't know, this is just an aside, but when we're doing our devotions, sometimes we can feel a bit goal-oriented about it. So if you're reading and you're just kind of going through, I would just encourage you, like, slow it down and, like, meditate on the word, because I feel sometimes like every sentence, there's just something to glean from it. Does everybody else find that? It's like, wow, you can, like, suck the marrow out of the truth of God. And it's so, like, oh, God will reveal it. He will make it plain to you. And it's for life. It's so usable and useful for our life. And that's how we arm ourselves. I wish I was stronger at times. I wish. I say, God, help me to be stronger, right? But we don't get there on our own, as I've said. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what? My husband is so great. And last night we were walking back from the concert, right? We're hand in hand, right? And he's strong, you know. And I'm happy to be led. Like, I'm happy when I get to hold this, you know, we're getting through the crowd and he's like, we like concerts and stuff. And so I'm in a crowd. That makes me feel safe, right? And God has that safety for you, right? Even if you don't have a spouse, whoever that is in you, God is that. He is that safety, right? He's the one that takes our hand. I'm going to get music to the background. Listen, take my hand and you walk, right, with God. It's a journey. It's good. It's okay. Well-timed. It's well-timed. Yeah, we're not alone. Lead me in your way, God. Where you lead me, I will follow. I will follow. Just appreciate the body of Christ, even with what just happened with Susan, not knowing her as well as some here in the church, but the thought crossed my mind as people were posting underneath the message that you had put, and it was like all the church like posting their shock and sadness and all of that. I thought, man, I'm so thankful to be part of the body of Christ. I'm so thankful to. I don't want to feel pain, right? I don't want to, but it's sure better to be in community and go through those things together. I wouldn't trade that for anything. And so if we can seek to call ourselves to a higher level of vulnerability with one another, and it doesn't matter what role you're in here, but that you've, and I don't mean tell your stuff to everybody, That's, we don't have to do that. But to find those people that are, and also to come in and say, okay, I am part of this, and therefore, together we're walking, together we're led. What a beautiful thing, right? And together we surrender. We surrender because, as you know, and I know you, as a pastor, I think that it must be such a, as soon as self-sufficiency comes in, right, I got to lead this church, can be very daunting, right? But when God leads it, right, and the leadership has the heart of surrender, man, we're safe, right? We that's a place of safety. And so I think it's important that we pray for our leaders in that way too, that they really hear and that they have the strength to stand. As an executive director at the center, what I have found is I relied on God before, but I really need him so much. Every day. And in life, I'm so squeaky in my voice. We need him. And he shows up big time, right? So big time surrender, right? Big time resistance where it needs to be. And life will never be perfect. It will never cease to bring trials and difficulties, but it never ends there. Thank God. Thank God. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. Just for the anointing and the Spirit of God in the house. I thank you that you dwell within us. That means you search our hearts and you know us. It means you understand us better than we know ourselves. You understand our weaknesses, our frailties, and our flaws. And you don't look on them with condemnation. You look at us with love and you see us through your eyes. Lord, so through a daughter and a son. So first of all, Lord, we just thank you because we know gratitude is the best armor that we can wear. And today we thank you. We thank you that faith has risen in this house. We thank you that joy has risen in this house. We thank you that everything in our life we can look at and say, okay, thank you, God, that you're walking me through it, that you're leading me down paths of righteousness because of your name's sake, not for mine, but for yours. For the furtherance of your kingdom and for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we repent. We can do this individually, but as a group, we repent for having our eyes on other things besides you and where you're going, for surrendering to the wrong things. Lord, you know what they are. Search our hearts, know us, God, and set us on a path that is straight. And Lord, that we are happy to walk that narrow path with you. We are happy to put one foot in front of the other. We are happy to reject, Lord, the enemy's plans and purposes because they will not prosper as we walk in you. I thank you for these beautiful truths, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing. Height and depth and principalities and powers. We thank you that the weapons that you've given us to fight with, Lord, they're effective. And so, Lord, for the one here that is feeling, as I did, as I prepared this, that you're talking to them, thank you that we know you enough that we hear your voice. I thank you we embrace the discipline of the Lord. We embrace hearing correction, Lord. And so we do repent of our hurts and hang-ups. We repent of the mindsets that come from those hurts, maybe. And Lord, if anyone is stuck right now, Lord, I pray that they can even just see themselves pulling their feet out of the mud and just with the strength of the Lord, just lifting their knees and pulling out of that mud and coming into an open heaven, coming into an open space, God, with you, so that you can talk to them. Lord, I pray that even just the desire is what you're asking us to have and calling us to. Give us a desire if it's not there, Lord, because you even care about that. It is you who works in us to will and to do. So God, our actions are not white knuckling, but they are trusting in you. Thank you, Father. We release our self-sufficiency. On our best day, God, we need you. And we thank you that this is your plan and your purpose for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.